Pentecostal church that's covering this globe right now. In fact, I dare to say that this church even helps those that faces we can't post on the wall because of access challenged nations that we're not even supposed to be in. But this church has their hand, I believe, in every region of this world. This church has access to places that we're not supposed to have access to. And I believe that because of the financial support that this church gives out to global missions, I believe that what happens in this service becomes a spiritual support into that global missions. I believe that what can happen in Heaven View on a Sunday morning, somehow God can take this anointing, God can take this voice, and God can amplify it into all the nations, into every country, into every tribe. I believe God can do that. And I believe God is doing that thing right now. There's such a shifting in the atmosphere at Heaven View that I can feel this weekend. And it takes me to the prophetic word of Isaiah in chapter 43 in verse 15, when God spoke to the prophet and said, "I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together, they shall not rise." He's speaking of the opposition of the world. He's saying, "I'm going to put them down together. They're not going to come against you." He says, "They are extinct." This isn't even my sermon, but it's here, so I just might as well. He says, "They are quenched as tow." He says, every chariot or horse, every opposition, every soldier, every army, every spiritual warfare, every demonic spirit that would try to rise up against you, he said, "I am your Holy One. I am your King. I'm the one that makes a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters." He said, "I'm going to put them down together. They're going to be extinguished. They're going to be quenched." Do you believe that we're living in a day that God is the one who rules the powers of this world? We're living in a day where we are seeing opposition. We're seeing governmental, economical, political opposition. We're seeing all sorts of things, and that is not my sermon today, but just kind of passing by. But letting you know that, yes, we are seeing opposition. Yes, we are seeing wars and rumors of wars. But Jesus was very clear in Matthew 24 when he prophesied of the last days that there would be earthquakes and pestilences and famines and all these things and various places, and people would become lovers of themselves, and the love for their brother would wax cold, and there would be nations rising against nation and wars and rumors of wars, and all this stuff would happen. But he said two things. Number one, he said, "Do not be deceived and do not be afraid." He said, because these things are just a sign of the times. They are not the end of the time. They are not the end of the church. He said in verse 4, however, he said, "But this is the end, when every nation, when every tribe, when every tongue and every kindred hears the gospel of the truth of Jesus Christ." He said, "Then and only then shall the end come." How many of you believe that he is the beginning and he is the end? I just feel to pause here for a second and encourage somebody that whatever opposition you've been facing in 2019, it will not be the end of your faith. It will not be the end of your worship. It will not be the end of your anointing. Oh, I wish somebody was hearing God today. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Whatever devastation has tried to enter into your home, you ought to declare today, that is not the end of my family. That's not the end of my marriage. That's not the end for my baby. That's not the end for us. God's got a greater work. God's got a greater word. God is the Alpha. God is the Omega. God is the author. God is the finisher. How many of you got faith that God is in charge? God is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is omnipotent. He is omniscient. He is omnipresent. And he is on my side. Well, that was just a 2-minute commercial break right there. Let's get back to what God wants to say. In verse 18, God says, remember ye not the former things. He says, don't remember the things of your past. We talked about that last night. He's not speaking of just forgetting everything behind us, things that got us here, you know. He's saying, forget the things of your past, of where you've come from. Forget the things that you used to be. Forget the things that you used to meddle with, the things that used to entertain you, the things that used to define. Forget those things. There's something new happening here. He says, forget those things in the past, neither consider the things of old. Verse 19, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Isn't that so funny how he says, I'm going to do it. There's like a little semicolon there, like a little pause, you know. I'm going to do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. He says, shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. He said, I will make a way where there seems to be no way. You got family in a desert. You got lost souls in your neighborhood that seem to be in a wilderness. See, there's people every day. There's people I could see in the imagination of my mind right now. People I cannot even imagine. I'm convicted just thinking about it right now. People in my own family, relatives and friends who I can't even imagine. How could God turn them around? Anybody have family like that or friends like that? There's just someone that seems to be so far. So lost, so confused. There's just absolutely no way, God, you could ever change their heart. I beg to differ, because if God could change the heart of a Pharaoh holding 3 million Jews captive for 400 years, it might have taken 10 plagues to do it, but it eventually happened. Wait a second here. Again, this ain't the sermon here, but I just got to get off in the Holy Ghost for a second. Why didn't God just kill Pharaoh? If he's smart enough to send 10 billion locusts into Egypt, we got a God who speaks to locusts. I don't know what language that is. We got a God who can rain down fire from heaven. We got a God who can let boils begin to come up on your skin. And I'm talking about plagues that you can't even imagine or explain. If he's big enough to do that, why couldn't he just kill Pharaoh and say, go ahead, boys, y'all free? I think it was a bigger testimony when those Israelites came out of bondage after 400 years, and they could testify to their kids and to their neighbors. They could say, hey, guess who let us go? The Pharaoh who held us. The Pharaoh who said, I will not let your people go. The Pharaoh who said, it's going to be a bigger testimony when your addiction starts crying for mercy and saying, okay, you can go. You can go. God could kill your addiction right now. God could kill your devil right now. But it's a greater testimony when the devil says, you got to go. I don't want anything to do with you. It's a greater testimony when the devil regrets ever knowing your name. That's a good opportunity right there for you to make the devil regret knowing who you are. Somebody make them regret it. You're going to regret knowing me. You're going to regret attacking me. You're going to regret ever coming against my baby. You're going to regret it because I am a child of God. Somebody lift up your hands and speak this with me. Rejoice not, oh my enemy, for when I fall, I shall arise. God prophesied and said, I will do a new thing. Pastor Linder, how many sermons have been preached in this pulpit? God's about to do a new thing. God's about to send a great wave of the Holy Ghost. God's about to save your children. It's been preached many times with the semicolon on the end of it. But the sermon today is this. Now is Shahashatarabayete. Now, I said now, I said now, not tomorrow, now is time. Watch this, watch this, watch this. Remember when Jesus was not experienced yet, hadn't preached general conference yet, hadn't seen a lot of miracles happen. In fact, hadn't done any miracles yet. And the Bible says in John chapter 2, verse 1, that it was the third day that there was a marriage of Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. When they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. If you think you know where I'm going, just buckle in, baby. And Jesus said to her, woman, what have I to do with thee? My hour is not yet come. It's not the time yet. It's for another day. And his mother acted as if she didn't even hear him. Anybody have a mom like that? I remember being out bowling with my friends in high school. My parents couldn't wait till I was 16. Get me out of the house as much as possible and to run errands for them as much as possible, you know. I was bowling with my friends one night at 16 or 17 years old. My mom said, we're out of milk. I said, I'm bowling. She said, okay, see you in 20 minutes. Did you not see the text I sent? She said, no, we need 2%. I said, guys, I gotta go. They said, it's the fourth frame. I said, mama said. You don't ever want the wrath of your mama on you, you know? He said to his mom, it's not my time yet. She said, hey, boys. Whatever he says to do, do it. I don't know if it was the stubbornness of a mother or the fact that she knew who her son was. She had never seen him perform a miracle. He had never performed a miracle. She had no testimonies, no scriptures of the fact that his voice, his wisdom had the power locked up inside of him to release the provision, the power, and the miraculous to fill that need. But her faith said, now is the time. And whatever he says, we're going to do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. He said unto them, draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and said unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth the good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. He said, usually at these feasts, they give the good wine first, and after we have drunk the good wine, then the lesser wine. And most of us quote and preach that this governor said, you've kept the best wine until last, but that's not what it says. It says, but you have kept the good wine until now. Until now. I've preached it. In fact, it was one of my sermons that I started preaching with, is that the best is yet to come. And I believe that. But today, I'm kind of changing my attitude today, that the best is now. The best is now. He said, most of them give the good wine first and the lesser wine last, but you have kept that best wine. You have withheld that good wine until... I just believe, I know it's a simple thought, but God gave it to me, so if you don't like it, you don't like God. I believe that God just put it in my spirit for this service today, that I've kept their answer until... Now, I've kept that deliverance until I'm looking for a now faith. I'm looking for a woman that's got some now faith. I'm looking for a man of God that's got some now faith. If you could have a little bit of faith that says, now I'm gonna get it. I refuse to wait another day. I refuse to wait another service. I said now. But watch this. Watch what this now faith did. Number one, it provided the first miracle Jesus ever performed. This now faith provided the best wine at just the right time. But in verse 11, here's the dimension shift that took place in this day that's about to take place on this day. Verse 11, this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Did you get it? Did you get it? When the mother said, now, and the governor of the feast said, you've kept it until now, that type of faith, that now faith, it was the beginning of miracles that Jesus began to perform, and he began to manifest his glory, and his disciples believed. You think you've seen some good stuff? You have. But he said, I've saved the best until now. And if you've got some now faith, I've got some now glory. If you've got some now faith, I've got some now deliverance. If you've got some now faith, I've got some... I'm
may not feel like dancing, but I feel like getting a miracle. I may not feel like jumping, but I feel like touching God. I may not feel like shouting, but I feel like releasing the power of the Holy Ghost. I may not feel like running, but I feel like letting loose the power of the Holy Ghost. Somebody let it out. Somebody release it. Somebody shout it now.
Would you stand with us today? Just a few weeks ago, I was at the Louisiana youth camp. And man, what a day we had, what a week we had. And on the last day, we woke up to all electricity going out. We woke up and everything was out. Electricity, I mean, which meant no air conditioning. In Louisiana, middle of summer, 102 degrees, 300% humidity. That's a problem. These dorms had transformed into easy bake ovens. No AC. And they didn't have any AC to cook food, or excuse me, any electricity to cook food. We thought, well, we had to cancel the morning service and the afternoon service. And thought, what are we going to do for the, it's the final night, you know? It's the best night. And they had to make an executive decision. And at first they thought, you know, we'll just have a Holy Ghost crusade outside on the grounds. But then they realized, well, if the electricity doesn't come back on by tonight, they're going to have to sleep in these dorms again. And we just don't want to risk their well-being. And so they made an executive decision that morning. They said by 2:30, if the power doesn't come back on, we're going to have to call all the parents and pastors and youth pastors and tell them to come get their kids. And so the youth president and I, Brother Drew Galloway, we got on a golf cart and we were passing out water bottles all over that camp. People were just laying on the ground. They were huddled up in the shade, you know, as best as they could. And all of a sudden, when we were passing out water bottles, we heard this screaming and shouting, like rejoicing going on. And we looked across and there was a group of young people just jumping up and shouting. This group of young people had been off in the distance and they had huddled together and the crowd got bigger and bigger and they said, hey, we're not going to miss the last night of youth camp. Some of these were seniors, you know, and they were getting ready to go to college. They said, we refuse to miss the last night of youth camp. And they huddled together in some spots over here and they began to pray. I mean, they prayed for a couple of hours. God, turn this electricity back on. We've got to have a move of God. And when they began to rejoice, we looked and there was lights that had come on. And I promise you, this is no exaggeration. When we saw the lights come back on, I looked at my watch and it was 2:30 on the dot. And so we did a little video to send out to all the parents on Instagram and everything else. And we said, hey, we're having church tonight and God's going to fill everyone with the Holy Ghost and God's going to touch everybody. God just has a way of working it out just at the right time, you know. And we had a bunch of people receive the Holy Ghost. It was amazing. We had one, there were several first-time visitors at this youth camp. And one of the first-time visitors, this young lady, about 15 years old, she got the Holy Ghost and started speaking in tongues. And as soon as she did, she stopped. She turned around and just went boom, and laid her hand on the girl behind her, and she started speaking in tongues for the first time, and we were just working the altars, you know, and one of the music ministers came up to me. He said, Brother Green, you got to hear about this young boy over here. He's only 8 years old. Somehow he snuck into senior youth camp, he came up here to get the Holy Ghost, an eight-year-old boy, and he said, I was praying with him for several minutes, and he was just kind of going through the motions, you know. He's 8 years old, you know, probably 25th generation Pentecostal, you know. He knew how to to go through the motions. He know how to do the traditions. And, oh, I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. And you know, most of the time that gets it done, you know. But for him at that moment, it just wouldn't get the job done. He was just focused on saying those right words, you know. And so that minister, thank God, he knew how to work with him. And he said, now look, young man, he said, if you want the Holy Ghost, you can't just give God your little routine or traditions. You've got to give God everything you've got. So he tried to figure out kind of how to explain it, you know, to an 8-year-old boy. And he said, whatever you're longing for the most, whatever you want the most right now, whatever it is that you may miss the most, whatever it is that is your greatest sacrifice, when I lay my hand on your head, I want you to speak that to God and say, God, I give this to you. And when you do that, God's going to give you the Holy Ghost. And so they got ready and they began to pray. And that minister laid his hand on them. And that 8-year-old boy lifted up his hands and said these words. He said, God, I miss my dog. But to that 8-year-old boy, that was everything he had. And I got great news. The moment he said, I miss my dog, God gave him the gift of the Holy Ghost. And he started... Jesus said, none of you can go to heaven unless you have the faith of a child. I think some of us ought to tap in to that childlike faith that says, God, I miss my dog today. I give you everything. I give it all. I give it now. I'm not holding it back. I'm living like this is the last day of my life. Well, just take a moment and lift up your hands and lift up your voice and give God that greatest need. Give God that greatest sacrifice. Give God everything you've got. If what you're giving is everything you've got. So tap into it right now. I give you everything and nothing less. I give you all and nothing less. I give you first and nothing less. Come on, I'm not giving any instruction right now because I want you to give it everything you've got. I want you to tap into it with everything you've got right now. Whatever that is for you, whatever that looks like for you, why don't you lift it? Why don't you pour it out? Don't hold it back. It can't do anything for you, but the Holy Ghost can do it all right now. Remain standing. I remind you of what God brought me to say at the beginning. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and 2. At just the right time, I have heard you. I feel to encourage somebody right now. You feel like God hasn't heard you because he hasn't answered you. I reminded someone last night in our meeting, I said, remember what Job said when he lost his family, he lost his kids, he lost his home, he lost his money, he lost his fortune, he lost his reputation. And Job said, God, I don't know where you are, but God, I know that you know where I am. Some of you are feeling that same sentiment, God. I don't know where you've gone. You've gone silent on me. But remember the words of Job. Tap into that faith of Job that says, I may not know where you are, but you know right where I am. Yeah. And today he has said, at just the right time, I have heard you. And in the day of salvation, I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. This may be a little juvenile, a little simplistic, but when I count to three, I want everybody to lift up their hands and shout now. And when you tap into that faith of now and you shout that declaration now, I want everyone to come to this altar as quickly as you can. If you need healing in your body, believe it for now. If you need deliverance in your soul, believe it for now. If you've never received the gift of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, you shall receive it now by the authority of the word of God and by the power of the name of Jesus. I release the gift of faith in this room. 1, 2, 3, shout it. Come to this altar with faith. Come to this altar with worship. Come to this altar with praise. Come to this altar with faith, with faith. Come on, bring somebody with you right now.